Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 14, which you can find on page 949 in your pew Bibles. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The lesson ends with the key: whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Faith in God's promises, trusting in God's word, that's what makes all things clean. And that's why St. Paul says, if you behave in a way that is beset with doubt, that is to say, if you do things and you're not sure if you should be doing them, then it's already too late. You're already committing sin, because you are sinning against your conscience. You're not trusting in God, you're instead listening to the enticements of the devil or the weakness of your flesh or whatever it might be. Faith is what makes all things clean, trusting in God's promises. And that's why the faith of your brother should be your highest priority. So in chapter 14 so far, St. Paul has told us carefully not to pass judgment on our brothers. There's a difference, there's a distinction among brothers. Some are weak and some are strong, but that strength and that weakness is just a distinction in terms of faith. All believe, and Jesus himself says, what is it that is required of faith but that it be no greater than a grain of a mustard seed? And that's sufficient. By faith you receive all of the blessings of God, whether you have a weak faith or a strong faith. Jesus himself says that a smoldering wick he will not quench, and a bruised reed he will not break. That is to say, what he cares about is that you believe, that your brother believes. And of course, he wants you to grow in faith, to be stronger and stronger in faith. But for you, what that looks like is never, ever, ever putting a stumbling block in your brother's way. Not judging him for his weakness of faith, not holding that against him. And least of all, never laying a trap for him that would lead him to fall away from the faith. That's what a scandal is, a stumbling block. It's a trap. It's the kind of thing that you would prepare if you were a hunter and you knew that a critter was going to come along this way, and so you put a snare and you bury it under the leaves, and when the animal steps on it, its leg gets caught up. That's what a stumbling block is. It takes someone who is unwitting, who doesn't know any better, and it strings them up. And St. Paul says that's what can happen if you exercise judgment against your brother, if you pass judgment against him. If you look at his weakness and you say, hey, no, you should be stronger. If you look at his weakness, and the example Paul is using is a weakness concerning food. So think about all of the Old Testament laws concerning food. Once again, God told them what was clean and what was unclean, and if you were a Jew, you learned that well, and you never ate unclean food. And now that Jesus is here, all food has been declared clean, and yet you can imagine so easily how a weaker brother would struggle with that, would have a hard time thinking that it was okay. I grew up being taught by God that I should not eat this food, and now I don't think I can do it. It seems like it would be wrong. I know God says it's right, but it seems like it would be wrong. St. Paul says, if you go to that brother and you pass judgment against him and you say, no, you're dead wrong and you should eat some of this meat. You should eat some pork. You should eat some bacon. Here, I'm going to eat some right in front of you. Watch and see. If you do that, what you're doing is you're laying a stumbling block in his way. You're putting a trap in front of him. And here's how that plays out. He thinks that it's wrong, and you're enticing him to do it. He thinks that he shouldn't do it, and you're inviting him to do something that he thinks he shouldn't do. And that's an invitation not to make himself unclean, but to sin against his conscience. And that's what causes the greatest damage to faith. Nothing is unclean in itself, St. Paul says. We know that. Jesus has cleansed all things. All food is free, and all days are equal. And yet, your brother's conscience might be weak. And so what you need to do, St. Paul says, is you need to be willing to become weak with him. That's what St. Paul says he does in 1 Corinthians 9 when he talks about how he has become all things to all people. He says, with the weak, I have become weak. I've been willing not to exercise all of the rights that I have by faith, to eat all of the food that I want to eat, or to celebrate the Lord's Day whenever I please. I have not exercised my rights because I don't want to cause trouble for my brothers. The last thing I want to do is to hurt the weaker brother. And so St. Paul says, if your brother is hurt in his faith by your eating and your drinking, then you should not do it. It is far better not to eat food that's going to scandalize your brother or drink a drink that's going to scandalize your brother. It is far better to give those things up, to forfeit your rights, than to hurt his faith. It is far better to do that, to give all of that up, than for you to take someone who has been redeemed by God and push him into a hole to encourage him, entice him to sin against his conscience. Now, the beautiful thing about that approach, about the willingness to become weak with our weaker brothers, the beauty of that is that in doing so, we become just like Jesus. After all, what has Jesus done for us but become weak like you and I? He's not weakened by sin the way that we are. He's not struggling to resist temptation the way that you and I do. But nonetheless, he experiences temptation. And he experiences the consequences of sin as he dies on the cross. He experiences the wages of sin in this world as he suffers hunger, as he experiences sorrow. He didn't have to do any of those things. He didn't have to experience the weakness that we experience. He didn't have to become weak the way that we are. And yet, why does he do it? So that in the last, when he breathes his last and his offering is ascending on high to God's throne, the Lord would smell that aroma and it would be pleasing to him. He becomes weak for our sake. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might receive the righteousness of God. How much more should we then, following his example, gladly, willingly, take up the minuscule weakness of our brothers and our sisters so that they do not stumble? How much more should we not pass judgment? How much more should we gladly let things go, not hold things against people, not demand that they live up to our standards? How much more should we gladly and willingly suffer all things? That's what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. That's what love does. It endures all things and bears all things. How much more should we do that, since having received such a gift from Jesus is the source of our life and our hope? The conscience of our brother, of the weaker brother, that's at the center of everything. And his faith is at the center of everything. That's what St. Paul is dealing with today. Pay attention to how you love your brother. Pay attention to what it's going to take to see him in heaven. Pay attention to what you can do to strengthen and build up and support and encourage, instead of tearing down, discouraging, and judging, as we are so prone to do. Knowledge puffs up. That's what St. Paul says. It's as if the more you know about how free you are in Christ, the easier it is for you to become puffed up. St. Paul says, don't be proud of yourselves. Don't think that the strength of your faith is something for you to boast in. Knowledge puffs up, St. Paul says, but love builds up. Love delights in bending low, in being humble, in meeting people where they are, in gladly and willingly strengthening the weaker brother, never ever putting an obstacle in his way, but showing him all of the love that he's received from Christ by loving him in just the same way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.